WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We're going to have some new liners around here celebrating our 25th anniversary. We're also going to be at Pappas this week in Glen Burnie. I have never been to the Pappas in Glen Burnie. Dennis Colazzo says it's his local Pappas. We're going to have some crab cakes. We're going to have a conversation with Anne Arundel County Executive Stuart Pittman. Also, I think, going to be joined by longtime WNST executive producer Ray Bachman. So, you know, I get anywhere near Pasadena, I got to find Bachman. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. We're going to be giving away the 50th anniversary scratch-offs on our 25th anniversary. They're also doing some big doings out at the State Fair this week. Got Home Run Riches. We got the Ravens scratch-offs coming. And our friends at Window Nation, 866-90-NATION, taking another 10% off here for Labor Day this week. And certainly I can't imagine or remember a time, and Luke, I'm gearing up for this, right? Like, we have our 25th anniversary. I'm doing these 25 stories of glory. We're going to be talking about our signs from back in the day, our Go Terp signs, our Stomp Them Saints signs from back in the day, and the old Get Nasty signs, as well as charity and barn shows. But 33 games over 500 for the Orioles. The Ravens about to play at home with the superstar quarterback and the superstar wide receiver, and they have their own issues with their cornerback missing, and everything felt perfect. I mean, even Henderson hitting the home run, everything felt perfect until the Felix Bautista situation the other night. And I mean, it's really kind of cast a pall upon all of this, including the bobblehead, the sold out crowd Saturday night, first place, number one seed, all of that. This is incredibly problematic for the Orioles, Luke.
It definitely is. I mean, I don't think there's a way to sugarcoat it beyond the fact that they do finish the weekend 32 over 500, and they are still in first place. And as Mike Elias noted on Saturday afternoon in the Orioles dugout when he revealed that Felix Bautista had suffered, quote, some degree of injury to his UCL, that other teams go through this. I mean, the Angels are out of it, but Shohei Ohtani, you know, torn UCL for him. We've seen the Rays with McClanahan and a number of pitchers that they've lost this year. It does happen, but when it's the best closer in baseball this year, when you're a team that plays close game after close game after close game, and we were already talking about the state of the bullpen and whether Mike Elias had done enough at the deadline, and you know, Fujinami's looked okay at times, other times doesn't look very trustworthy. It's a very difficult pill to swallow to lose someone like Felix Bautista, but it's a pitcher. They break. That's why you need as much pitching depth as possible. And, you know, the Orioles will have to carry on here. They're still going to make the playoffs. Time will tell whether they're going to hold off the Tampa Bay Rays. I mean, the reality is it's been a 1, 2, or 3 game lead since late July. I mean, it's been that way for a month now. It's kind of been Orioles win, Rays lose, Orioles lose. It's kind of been the way that it's worked for the most part. Although certainly the Rays gain a game on Sunday afternoon. But I think for the Orioles, it boils down to this. They're going to need a number of individuals to step up on the pitching side and on the offensive side, knowing that you're not going to have your stud closer in the ninth inning, because whether Felix Bautista, whether this injury, he can avoid Tommy John surgery or not, which, you know, when they throw out UCL right away, that's not a good sign. I can't fathom a scenario, Nestor, realistically speaking, where we're seeing Bautista pitch again this year. And if I'm wrong, then I'll gladly be wrong about that. But when you're throwing out some degree of injury to a UCL less than 24 hours after it happens, that usually tells you it's not good. That usually tells you where this is probably heading. So from that standpoint, in the short term, we've seen Yennier Cano, who makes sense, all-star setup man, steps into the closer role. Will he be that guy every single time? Probably not to the same degree that Bautista has been, but...
Well, we have less baseball, too. There are going to be less decisions to make between here and the end. The real decisions come in October. Yeah. I mean, at this point, like, you still think of this team at 32 games over 5. They're making the playoffs. They're going to play big games. So what happens between now and then? They might blow a game or two or three, and it might wind up being a game or two or three that cost them a game at the end, where they become a wild card. But either way, this is about innings in October for me. I mean, I hate to be flippant about it because the Yankees and Red Sox aren't coming to catch us, you know? So I really do feel like they've built themselves. You talked about building that pad back in April when the schedule stunk, back in May when the schedule was good. And we're like, well, maybe they're good. And then it's July and August, and this pad goes from 20 games over 500 to 25 games over 500 to 33 games over 500. Oh, that's great. And but who's going to pitch in October? And I mean, that's where the Royals kicked their ass, you know, 9 years ago, right? Like, it's that seventh, eighth, ninth inning, figuring that out and having starting pitching up. That's good enough. That's good enough. I mean, Flaherty was good enough. Most of these guys, most days, they're good enough. Like Weigh and Chen and Miguel Gonzalez, that they're good enough. There's nobody in there that's setting the world on fire, but they're getting you through five or six innings and they're giving you a chance to win. And certainly this team has enough offense to do that. The question for me is, how are you going to get through the backside of the lineup late into the night against quality hitters and big lineups and bright lights in October? Who's going to be there? Who's going to take those innings? And maybe you say Means. Maybe you say Theo Hall. Maybe these guys are healthy and coming into their own 6 or 7 weeks from now. Because to your point, Felix Batista is not home anymore. And like, to me, that's not an issue in September. That's an issue in October.
Yeah, I mean, the issue in September is going to be figuring out what that bullpen is going to look like without Felix Batista, making the assumption that he's not going to be back. And again, I can't fathom a scenario where, I mean, I guess I shouldn't say that, but it's extremely unlikely that we're going to see him again this year based on the fact that right away they say he's got some injury to his UCL. Now, does he avoid Tommy John surgery or not? Time will tell on that. I mean, we might find out.
It doesn't mean he's out there throwing a buck 01 on, you know,
right,
Columbus Day.
And that's the big thing. I mean, even if he tries to come back, because they're at a point in the schedule, Nestor, if he has to get Tommy John surgery, he's out all of next year anyway. So, and even though a lot of people view Tommy John surgery in this day and age so much differently than they did 25 years ago or 30 years ago, and yes, the return rate is very good, but it's not 100%. So in many cases, you will go at it from a conservative approach, at least for a little while. And the timing of the calendar for him, they'll probably do that with Batista at least a little bit, I would think, unless it's just, you know, unless it's completely, you know, if he ruptured it or if it's almost a full tear, then, you know, they're just not announcing it right away. But these next 5 weeks, these next 4 weeks are going to be about figuring that out. Let's say for right now, for argument's sake, Yennier Cano does a pretty good job in the ninth inning. It's not Felix Batista, but hey, he's pitched really well in August. He's looked more like the guy we saw in the first half of the season here over the last
few
weeks.
He can't get you three outs in a 2 or 3 run ball game, right?
Right. Well, but the point is,
against bad teams too, mostly.
But we talked about this last year when they traded Jorge Lopez at the trade deadline, and Felix Batista, everyone said, well, he can move into the ninth inning. Well, what was the question, Nestor? It was, who pitches the eighth inning to get to Batista in the ninth inning? So if Cano can handle the Batista role, and again, is he going to have that role exclusively? I think they'll match up a little bit because Danny Coulomb's pitched really well. We've seen some other guys that could potentially have that. You mentioned DL Hall. They're going to have to figure out who's going to be Cano's role then. You know, if Cano's going to become Batista, even if it's not the same exact extremely dominant pitcher, well, then you need someone to become Cano. So that's why I liked on Saturday seeing DL Hall pitch in the eighth inning. Brandon Hyde threw him right into the fire. And the reason why is he's got a heck of an arm. You know, we saw him. He touched 98 miles per hour and was, you know, throwing well. And, you know, you need to see if, whether it's him, whether it's Jacob Webb. You mentioned John Means. They're stretching out Means. I think he's going to be more of a starting option, at least.
Well, the
as
other
he
thing
comes
they
back
have are left-handers all of a sudden, right? That, you know, so that's, you know, the Coulombs, it's nice to have that. They're going to need that. They're going to need matchups, really.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they have a little more. CNL Perez has been better, certainly, over the last few weeks. I mean, Coulomb's been so good for them that, I mean, he's gotten right-handers out, too. He hasn't been a lefty specialist, per se. He looked that way early in the season, just how they used him. But he's another guy that I think could end up closing some games if you get a ninth-inning scenario where two of the three batters do up are left-handed hitters. I mean, so I think Brandon Hyde will play matchups a little bit more than you would when Batista's pitching the ninth, because it's Batista. Who cares who's coming up? I mean, he's going to pitch. But they're going to have to try to figure that out. And, you know, I think the other interesting name in addition to DL Hall to me is going to be Tyler Wells. They very clearly are shortening him up in the minors for a one inning, you know, maybe 1 1/3, 1 2/3 kind of outings where, and we saw this with him as a Rule 5 pick a couple years ago. I mean, he actually pitched really well to the point, and I know the team was terrible at the time. So, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say that it's the same exact scenario, but Tyler Wells finished that Rule 5 rookie year as their closer before they, before he, got shut down real late in the season.
So they're giving him the Gausman role, but without, I mean, 10
maybe,
years ago?
I mean, it might be that, right? I mean, but they've shortened him up. He's going to be part of that bullpen picture. I mean, we've seen Jacob Webb, Saturday aside, we've seen Jacob Webb pitch really well since they claimed him off waivers from the Angels, which I still can't figure out why the Angels gave him up, because he's been pretty good for them. So it's not as though the cupboard's entirely bare, but it's not as simple as just saying next man up. And I know fans say that, and we talk about that with the Ravens all the time. Felix Bautista is not a next man up guy. Felix Bautista is Felix Bautista, who's been the best closer in baseball. There's a reason why he was garnering at least some Cy Young attention. Do I think he was going to win?
But he was
it?
only
going to
pitch
not.
10 innings this month, right?
And
12,
that, and
right,
that,
right? I mean, like, what?
Right. Well, and that's where I was even having this debate with some other reporters late Friday night when.
And then you're
as
assuming
you said,
you're winning 70% of the time like they've been doing lately, right? Like, that's another part of this, right?
Yeah. I mean, the reality is I fully expect them to continue to have leads in the eighth and ninth inning. I mean, they've played that way all year. Why is that going to change now? It's going to be what you do with those leads now when you don't have Felix Bautista. So the nice thing for the Orioles, and again, Sunday's loss notwithstanding, they still won 2 out of 3. It was strange to see Ty Blocknester, who I'm sure you had no recollection of. He was one of the worst pitchers that we saw the Orioles have during their, the darkest times of the rebuild. He shuts them down. But you look at the schedule, 3 with Chicago, 3 with Arizona, who, has bounced back and playing better of late. But then they play the Angels at Boston, 3 against St. Louis, until the Rays come to town for that mid-September 4-game set. So they've got a 2-week period here where the schedule is, I don't want to say it's soft because it's still Major League Baseball and you still have to go out there and pitch well and do the things you need to do to win. But it is a softer schedule the next couple weeks, which they've got to figure out some semblance of new roles for everyone in that bullpen, because we know Batista's at least out the next couple weeks, right? I mean, even the miraculous scenario, he's on the 15-day IL, so he's at least out for 2 weeks. But of course, you're preparing for the worst at this point in time. So you do have a schedule that sets up for Brandon Hyde to move pieces around, try some things out. To your point, this is about October. They're going to be in the postseason. Felix Bautista being sidelined for the last month of the season is not costing them a playoff spot. It might cost them the division, might cost them the number one seed, but they'll be in the playoffs. So everything about this month, yes, it's about winning, continuing to win games because you want to win the division, but you're trying to find things out. And you want to find out if DL Hall can handle high leverage. You want to find out if Tyler Wells can handle high leverage. You want to find out if Cano can truly handle the Bautista role, because if he can't, then they have bigger problems.
Dude, if they blow a 3-game lead because their ninth inning closer blows 5 saves in the month of September, then they're not going to win the World Series. You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
there's a point, especially if you're doing that against the Rockies, right? Or, whatever it is, to your point, these series and the Tampa thing's going to be big and the Houston thing's going to be maybe even bigger. But by the time we get there, if they back up a little bit, I mean, I don't know, maybe Houston will wind up helping Texas. I mean, they would never want to do that. But it does set up to be the season got a lot more interesting when he got injured, right? From I think they can win the World Series to same feeling I had when Ronnie Stanley got hurt a couple years ago. I turned to my wife when he's getting carted off and I'm like, they can't win the Super Bowl without him. And the Marlon Humphrey thing for the Ravens, we'll see how that goes. You're more optimistic that he's going to be running around on my birthday, which is, London weekend, middle of October. I'm not. In this case of Bautista, I think we don't believe he's really going to pitch in October. I mean, I don't at this point because I don't think they do. And to your point, like you were talking about the ninth inning and me just saying it's 10 innings. That's a little flippant of me to say it's 10 innings because I think it affects everything after the fifth inning for them every night. And especially when you start mixing and matching and they don't play 14 inning games anymore. So you don't have that going on anymore where you'd really like rip a bullpen up or double headers or any of those kind of weird things that do that. But they do have some arm deficiencies. We've talked about the bullpen all of July, right? All of June and all of July. Once Cano got a little questiony around the All-Star break, we're like, all right, do they have enough bullpen? Do they have enough? You didn't mention Fuji, and I guess he's got this bedwetting propensity in situations where I don't know, they may have to pitch him in the sixth inning of a game three in Houston next month, right? Like they're going to have to, but they're not going to want to. And I think that's where Paul, Means, Wells, these guys that aren't a part of it right now, that have not ever been a part of it over the first 130 games, we're looking at them and saying, all right, maybe this is the spot in September where they'll try things. They're going to have to, right?
And that's what it's going to be about. I mean, let's keep in mind, 2 years ago, I'm only talking 2 years ago, so the end of the 2021 season, no one was talking about Felix Bautista. He was in the minors. He had the beginning of 2021, he was in single A, and he got all the way to triple A, and okay, he was kind of sort of on the radar at this point. But my point is, you didn't know what you had until he was in the majors, and suddenly you're like, wow, this guy's unbelievable. So,
And by
are
the way,
any.
being old and being a reliever is not such a bad thing, right? You're 27 and 28. You're throwing Bs at AAA. They'll bring you up and give you a chance, and maybe you turn into Danny Coulomb. Maybe you turn into Lee Smith. I don't know. But at least you get a chance. I mean, in any organization, because they need arms, and it is an unnatural thing for you to do to pitch for any of us. Go throw a wiffle ball tomorrow and see, and you see how your shoulder feels, because it's not natural to do it. And at some point, all these guys' arms fall off. I mean, it's astonishing through the history of baseball how many guys had shoulder problems. Strasburg retired this week, right? He was going to the hall of wherever he was going, and then he fell apart. Pitching, man, it's like vapor. It's like capturing it while it's happening, while it's going on, while a guy feels good, while he's throwing strikes. I mean, Fuji's the greatest example of that, because he might be lights out. He might be the answer in Octu. He's good enough to be if he's consistent enough. But consistency with 6'7" guys, that was Randy Johnson's problem in the beginning, right?
I mean, it's just they have, like we've said, they have some interesting options. Does that mean any of them is going to ultimately be the solution? I mean, Felix Bautista was the best closer in baseball this year, right? I mean, you can't dismiss that when you look at the strikeout numbers, when you look at everything he did for them. ERA, he blew six saves, but look how many saves and look how many games he also had the wins in relief. How many times he pitched in extra innings and winning on the road and all of that. You can't re just replace that. So this next month, yes, is still about winning games. It's not as though Brandon Hyde's gonna, he's not gonna throw Austin Voth out there in the ninth inning per se, but they're going to be trying some different things here. And we saw that with Hall on Saturday night. He's in the eighth inning. DL Hall's got a great arm. He's another guy that, you tell me right now, 3, 4 weeks from now, that DL Hall's closing some games for them, I'd say, okay. I'd buy it because he's got that kind of arm. I'm not saying that's the most likely outcome. Fujinami, Cano, we've talked about, Danny Coulomb. I mean, they, Tyler Wells. I mean, they have interesting options at least. When I say interesting, that means potential to be good, potential to be an answer, but none of them are Felix Bautista. And that's why, as I said at the beginning of our conversation, this is going to be a collective effort, not just in the bullpen. But you need your starters to be more consistent than they've been. And you're right, for the most part, they've been pretty solid. I mean, they had, until Flaherty didn't get through six on Sunday, they had had a stretch where their starters were getting through six. They were getting quality starts. We've seen Kyle Bradish look very much like an ace, for most of this season, really from May on. I mean, he's been that good. We've seen Grayson Rodriguez look very good since he was recalled after the All-Star break. Dean Kramer is the guy that kind of gets forgotten out of the young guys because he struggled so mightily 2 years ago. But for the most part, he's given them some starts, in some tough spots where he's pitched really well and come through for them. So you have those three. It was nice to see Gibson bounce back this last start because he had struggled over the last month. We'll see about Flaherty. Cole Irvin has quietly pitched pretty well for them since moving into the six-man
Better than
rotation.
Flaherty for the most
He
part,
has
right?
been. He has been. Right. So, and you have John Means, who is at this point looking like he's finishing up his rehab assignment. He's up to about 70 or 75 pitches per outing. So he's going to be an option for them. I don't think we'll see Means You're not going to see John Means pitch in the eighth inning. It's going to be a matter of, does he start? Do they maybe use him with another starter in a piggyback scenario? And in, under that scenario, I would assume Means replaces someone like Austin Voth in the bullpen. But I think they're, I think they're keeping their mind open to Means starting some games for them in September and seeing what that looks like, knowing that he has some upside. That if John Means looks like John Means by September 21st, maybe he is your fourth starter in your rotation come October. So it's nice to at least have a few more options now than they had at any point during the season, to your to the point you made a couple minutes ago. But
But they don't have their best option.
it sucks. Yeah. I mean, there's just no way to sugarcoat it. And that doesn't mean it doesn't mean they can't make a run in October. Doesn't mean they can't win a series and get to the ALCS, but it is very difficult to look at this and say, you imagine a path for them winning the World Series without Felix Bautista. And that's just, that's the bummer here. And that's rough. But I will remind everyone, the Orioles got to the ALCS in 2014 without Manny Machado, without Matt Wieters all year, basically, with Chris Davis being suspended in September. 2012, it was early September when Sabathia hit Nick Markakis and broke his thumb. Markakis had been one of their best players for the second half of the season until that happened. Nate McLaughlin stepped in. They still made the playoffs. So it's not as though the se you just say the season's over. No one's suggesting that. You're disappointed. There was a lot of disappointed guys in that clubhouse on Saturday. Believe me, you could tell it was a tough day for that club. But the way they answered and came out and won the game on Saturday night, that's what you have to do. And you're going to need guys to step up across the board. You need your offense to be a little bit better, maybe to the point where you don't have quite as many save scenarios right off the bat. As I've joked about all year,
Well, they've
a
been
couple more
exciting as hell,
blowouts.
right? Whether it's O'Hearn
Yeah.
hitting home runs or, I mean, like it does remind me of 79 as a fan, and not so much 97 where they were loaded with stars and the payroll and all that. Just sort of like Rich Dower getting a hit, or Kiko Garcia getting a hit, or Jim Dwyer in 83 getting a hit, or Benny Ayala getting a, I mean, they just have a team of, because it wasn't about Cal and Eddie every night. It was some nights,
Many nights, but yeah.
but it's not about anyone. It's a collective. Everybody here has been a star at one point. McCann, I mean, you name it. I mean, Urias,
Yeah.
Mateo, and they've all been goats too. I mean, Henderson threw the ball in the dugout the other day. I mean, he's 21 years old.
Sure.
I don't know. It reminds me of Machado coming up from where they were 10 years ago. I think he's, much more polished human, at this point, and still not without flaws. I mean, I see the team make young guy mistakes, and I see them have errors in judgment, and I see them run the bases sometimes like Charlie Brown. And I mean, I've seen all of that, but my God, they're fun, and they deserve this opportunity in October to have a good punch. And I guess that's the part for me, being the wise old sage guy here who's trying to win 40 years later like everybody else, but just see, this is, it could be devastating, and if they don't win the World Series, we'll look back and say, what if? In the same way you mentioned Markakis, I'll still say 12 was their best chance to really win the World Series. They went up to New York, they had a one game, they could have played through, they could have gotten to, that would have been their chance. They miss Markakis a lot. And I think in the end, 10 to 12 years later, you look up now and say, he's a way better baseball player than maybe we, in the end, when he left, he did better things than most any of them did. For the pedigree he was, that kind of leadership, that would have helped them that last 6, 7 weeks. They needed him.
Yeah, 14 was a better team than 12. Anyway,
12 was a better chance, I thought.
I mean, they were in the ALCS against the
Yeah, Kansas
Royals,
City
and
was so much better than them by the time they got there.
look
I
at the
think that was
final
proven
score.
out.
They weren't beating them 6-1.
They didn't
They
hit the
were
ball.
close games. 14 was way better than 12.
I just,
I'll
I'm going
disagree.
back to the
Anyway,
injury, a
yeah,
Labor Day injury to a key
sure.
player. And Markakis batted five times tonight, played. I mean, to your
Well,
point, you
that's.
mentioned Nate McLaughlin and whatever. We don't remember Nate McLaughlin because they didn't
Right.
win. And in the case of Bautista, I see this, to your point, as like, well, he's going to pitch 10 innings this month, but where are those leverage points in
Yeah.
October, and how do they replace that over the next 6 weeks? And what will the legend of all this be? Because if they win the World Series without him, that's been done too.
Yeah, I mean, look, there have been teams that have lost players as great as Felix Bautista and still play deep in October. I mean, and part of this was also, this is such a young team, not much experience in terms of postseason experience. I mean, you've got a handful of guys who've been in that arena, not many. And even the guys who've been in that arena, you know, it's a Kyle Gibson pitching a little bit here and there. It's Jack Flaherty who's done it a little bit. You know, we're not talking about, you know, it's not Justin Verlander or Max Scherzer or guys like that. So there was always that question of how this team's going to respond once they get to October. So when you lose a Bautista, it's like, oh my goodness. And look, we don't know how he would pitch in October. Yeah, let's be clear, because some people were panicked about him giving up a home run at the All-Star game. It's like, it's an All-Star game. It's not the World Series, but your point's well taken. And they're going to need it. That's why I said everyone else is going to have to step up. I mean, it's a collective effort when you lose someone like that. And I will go back to 14 and say, team won 96 games with Manny Machado playing only half the season. Matt Wieters was done for the year in May. Chris Davis wasn't great anyway and then got suspended in September. You know, who Steve Pierce was one of the best players on that team. And you know, they had a bullpen that stepped up to the point where, you know, you had an Andrew Miller and you had Darren O'Day and you had Brad Brock. And obviously, Zach Britton didn't even begin the season as their closer that year. And we saw what he became. So you never really do know. And that's why you want to see what DL Hall does. You want to see what some of these other Tyler Wells does in some high leverage situations. You hope Cano can handle it, but you need some other guys to step up to eat up those innings and handle those high leverage spots. So we'll see how it plays out. Season's not over, but certainly your path to a deep October run got way more difficult when you lose someone like Felix Bautista. To suggest otherwise would be a slap in the face to what he did all year for them.
Yeah, I've been looking at this 1969 Luis Aparicio throwback White Sox powder blue crazy thing they wore. I'm going to wait for the White Sox to get through, make sure they don't get in our way here this week. Orioles going on the road playing late night this weekend. Luke has a little downtime from Owings Mills this week. We're going to have a little downtime around here, but I'm going to be at Pappas on Tuesday with Anne Arundel County Executive Stuart Pittman. We're going to be giving away Maryland Lottery scratch-offs, the 50th anniversary. It is our 25th anniversary. I am rolling out our 25 Stories of Glory, number 25, to launch, Luke Jones. You'll remember this, September 1st, it's going to launch, because September 1st was the first time we did a Get Nasty sign, and it was a Get Nasty Dump Trumpy sign. So we're going to show the signs. Number 25 in our Stories of Glory are the legends of the WNST signs. I'll be holding them up. Here's one for you, Luke. This will 1996, my friend. There you go. Clobber Cleveland. 97, excuse me, 97. 96 was spanked the Yanks. Wacko for Flacco. We got Fear the Foo. We have all of the signs. So we will be having some fun with signs. And more signs. It feels like a Tesla song. He is Luke. You can find him at Baltimore Luke. You can find me, Ness, at BaltimorePositive.com. No football this week. We're kind of hanging out. We're going to have some cuts here on the WNSD tech service. You'll get that first, courtesy of our friends at Coons Baltimore Ford. And, of course, our friends at Window Nation bringing out the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. We're at Fadley's on September 15th. That is our next Crab Cake Tour stop. We're going to slow things down here a little bit as we get into Labor Day. I'm Nestor. We're WNSD AM 1570. Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Baltimore, positive.